Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Only Stupid Answers. My name is DJ Wooldridge, and with me, as always, is the amazing Roxy Stryer. Hi, Roxy.
Hi, DJ. How are you doing, DJ? You always ask me first. I'm cutting in.
Cutting in. You know what? So far, so good.
Whoa.
How are you doing?
So far, so good.
Well, you had a big weekend last weekend. You had your big, I want to say the word telethon, but that's not technically what it was.
Marathon. But that's, we called it a whirl-a-thon.
There you go. So I wasn't too, it was an a-thon.
It was an a-thon.
Yes.
Not Eddie-thon.
No. Poor Eddie-thon. Listen, everybody, even Tommy Merlin got to come back for at least one cameo season. Eddie-thon is dead to us.
Yeah. Dead as a doornail. Why do you think that's an expression?
I'm sure there's a reason.
What happened? And also, just to be 100% honest with you, DJ.
Yeah.
What is a doornail?
Great question. It is the nails that attach the hinge on the door.
Is the doornail.
Is the doornail. You're welcome.
I would say that is an inanimate object, so it is indeed dead.
It is dead. Don't look up whether that's where it comes from. There's no way to know. We're just going to have to take my word for it.
Yep. Well, you were around during the expression creation.
I am older than you think.
I'm
an old soul. I think it's safe to say I'm an old soul.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
So yeah, we did. We had the whirl-a-thon. It was great. Thank you. We raised a lot of money for the National Domestic Violence Hotline.
Hell yeah.
And did a lot of great stuff and had some laughs while doing it. So it was a blast. And it feels like it was yesterday, but I guess it was a week or 5 days ago at this point. What is time?
Yeah, time is weird.
Time is a doornail.
Time is a doornail. If for anybody that missed the whirl-a-thon, is there any way that they can go revisit it or not?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it is a 7-hour stream that is live, ooh, that is available on YouTube for all eternity. It actually is too long for us to make it a full podcast. So we're trying to break it up into parts.
There you go.
And that will be available also. But it's just on youtube.com/thewhirlgirls. And if you missed it and you still want to support, then you can make sure that you donate directly to the hotline. It's just thehotline.org. And they could really use your support, especially during this time where just domestic violence is through the effing roof because people have not been able to leave their homes. And so they're an incredible organization. You know me, DJ, I'm like one of those researching nuts. Yeah. And so I like to know exactly where my money's going to. And they're really, really wonderful about it and their transparency of what they do. So they really help provide safe spaces for people to get out of really toxic, messy situations. And I'm a big, big fan of what they do. So not the fact that they have to do it, but that they do it. So they're a great organization in case you missed it and you want to support.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to do the research because that's always something that stresses me out when it comes to giving.
Yeah,
because it is tough. And I will say, you know, 7 hours seems like a lot, but I do know one of our listeners that may or may not be in the chat today has watched the Snyder Cut repeatedly. So 7 hours.
What's repeatedly.
We had our, for those that don't know, on patreon.com/onlystupidanswers, one of our tiers allows you to be a part of a monthly chat with me and some of our listeners. And it's an amazing group of people. And I always look forward to it. And the way they phrased it, that by the time we had done that call last weekend, they had watched it like 2 or 3 times. You can, I know you're in the chat. You can correct me in the chat. And I believe, I'm not going to call you out, but I believe he's also watched Justice is Gray. So what I'm saying is that 7 hours seems like a lot, but if you've sat, for those that have sat through Snyder Cut a couple of times, you're well past it at this point.
Yeah, at this point, hey, I mean, it's less than twice.
See?
That is less than twice. It was, the Snyder Cut is something that I really liked, but will not be watching on repeat. I will say when I was doing like my review with my co-host for DC Movie News, Mike Kalinowski, by the time we did our review, which was like less than 24 hours after it dropped, he had seen it 3 times. And I was like, imagine. What's happening? What is happening? Well, he's like, well, the first time I had to watch it straight through. And then the second time I obviously watched it in chunks. And then the third time I just went back to watch some of the scenes that I liked and just ended up watching the whole thing. And I was like, you are sick and twisted, my friend. Sick of that.
Yeah, yeah. So, and also, I will say that the listener in the chat has apparently watched The World of Fawn and was a big fan. So, but any, to anybody else, again, that if you've watched Snyder Cut on multiple viewings, one, God bless you. Two, go check it out. Mix it up. Hey, listen, mix it up. There's other things. So speaking of other things, this week we're actually answering your questions. When Roxy and I were planning out the show, originally it was supposed to be Godzilla versus Kong, but that is delayed to next week. So next week's episode is going to be talking about that, which I'm very much looking forward to. So this week we are going to be answering your questions. A lot of our listeners on the Discord, which again, you can access through patreon.com/onlystupidanswers, sent us some really interesting questions. So I wanted to tackle those with Roxy. If you're watching the show live, which again, you can do at patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. I'm like those ads that just bludgeon you with the fucking URL. Like, here's where you go.
No, it's good.
You can. We are going to be talking about the Suicide Squad trailer. We are going to be talking about DC casting news. We are going to be talking about the Mighty Ducks Game Changers, which I'm surprisingly looking forward to. I like those movies. I just didn't. I didn't expect to enjoy that as much as I did. I guess spoiler alert for my thoughts on the show. Anyway, we're going to be talking about all those. But before we do, I'd like to take a second for those that listen on Spotify. You are able to ask us questions. And last week's question, it's literally on the episode. You can just click on it and ask the question, or answer a question. Excuse me. We ask the questions, you answer. And the question this past week was, would you like to see more of the Snyderverse? The MoMan96 says, despite enjoying the Snyder Cut, the epilogue and reading his plans for the future films made me glad that he probably isn't making any more DC films. Caleb Kaiser says, I wouldn't mind, but I'm unsure I want it in film version. I would love a comic to finish the story. Animated would be cool, but I feel like if they do a watchable medium, they would just go to film/HBO Max. And Christopher Infanon says, totally. Maybe not so much direct sequels to the Snyder Cut, but the DCEU should take it into continuity as opposed to the theatrical cut. I think the only big difference there would be that Cyborg's dad is dead in the spoilers for Snyder Cut in that version, and he's not in the one that came out in 2017, which does feel like a weird, considering Cyborg has one supporting character, that you're going to kill him off before what at the time was supposed to be his first solo film.
Well, and this, he had a mom too, but
yeah,
she'd be gone too.
Yep. We killed off both his parents in that movie. Also,
because you cannot be a princess if you are not an orphan. We know this, DJ.
So how else is Cyborg supposed to become a Disney princess? These are the questions we need answers to.
Who is your favorite Disney princess? Cyborg.
Duh. You can also review the show on iTunes, which is amazingly helpful. And we've got some really cool reviews here. This one from Connor. My favorite nerdy friends. Only Stupid Answers has been one of my favorite podcasts for years now. DJ and Roxy are so good at breaking down my favorite things and engaging their community with earnestness and fun. Whether you're a seasoned nerd, TV movie veteran, or just want to learn more, this is the podcast for you. That was a great review. Thank you so much.
Really nice.
Yeah. We got Danny Joe Rowe, 25. I love it. I constantly find myself agreeing with DJ's opinions, and I'm always relieved/comforted when at least one other person agrees with me. But honestly, I love the differing opinions, and I listen every week to hear about beautiful new things like Infinity Train, great show, or even Superman and Lois, really good show, or to reaffirm I'm not crazy about my critiques of things like the Snyder Cut or anything else. Thank you. I love DJ and Roxy, and I love and miss Sam. Sam loves and misses you all as well. And this one from Echo Spider, who may or may not be in the live chat today. He is. Love this new iteration of the OSA show. Roxy and DJ really compliment each other. This new iteration of the show is amazing. The exclusive Patreon content really adds a while new layer, but you can definitely have a great time with the podcast. Moist little ears forever. Thank you, Danny. Really appreciate that. Great reviews. Please keep them coming. It's very helpful for the show, and we love it. It makes us feel good.
Here's the thing. If you guys are listening and you haven't done a review yet, you just saw firsthand all the cool kids are doing it. So, I mean, if that's not enough for you to right now, while you're listening, say, I want to be a cool kid too, My ears are moist as well. I have little ears. They are moist. And I'm a cool kid. I'm going to write this review because that's what cool kid moist ears little boy do.
Exactly.
For people.
Now let's talk about, obviously, you know, Falcon and Winter Soldier is taking up a lot of, you know, airtime on shows like this. But Disney did have another show that dropped this week. Mighty Ducks Game Changers.
I'm so happy you told me to watch this, DJ.
Yeah, I didn't know. I saw a review starting to pop up. I didn't know it was dropping this week. I don't know about you, Roxy. I have a lot of affection for those movies from when I was a kid.
Yeah, I haven't watched them in a long time, but when I was a kid, I remember really liking them.
Yeah, really loving them. I'm actually a pretty big Emilio Estevez fan. I just watched Repo Man last night again. He's great in that. That's one of his earlier roles. I remember liking him a lot in the Mighty Ducks movies. And going in though, I was nervous because it's like, oh, it's a Disney family comedy. I was charmed. I was very charmed.
It was so charming that I'm not surprised you were charmed. Mm-hmm. This episode was freaking adorable. I'm a big Gilmore Girls fan. Mm-hmm. So that was really nice to see Graham, Lindsay. No. Mm-mm.
I don't know if I'll be able to help you with this one. Graham, hold on.
Graham. Oh my God, DJ.
I feel like somehow this is my fault, but I'm not sure. Lauren Graham?
Lauren Graham. I just can't handle what I've done today. Mm-hmm. I can't handle
it. Well, listen, in our defense, we did have to stay up late to watch Falcon and Winter Soldier and the Mighty Ducks.
Lauren Graham, I'm so sorry I called you Lindsey Graham. Mm-hmm. It's so mean.
You are
so wonderful, Lauren Graham. I love Gilmore Girls. I love Lorelai. That's what the character she's most famous for playing. Obviously, yeah. I like her in Bad Santa also, but she's a really, really grounded actress who makes this make sense. And like you can see single parent raising kid at work, struggling to figure out the best way to be the best mom she can, but really gives a shit. I think that's something very, very relatable. I like the premise. I don't want to give too many spoilers because I'm sure a lot of people haven't seen it.
Yeah.
But I like how we're getting reacclimated with hockey. Mm-hmm. I like the catalyst for how we're going about everything. I think it's very realistic that in today's day and age, just even when you and I, DJ, were coming up, it was the amount of pressure on children was just so fucking ludicrous. Yeah. And if you're not a prodigy by the age of 10, then you're a failure. And that feeling, I don't know if you had that as well, but I grew up I know DJ, you were homeschooled, so I'd be curious to hear, but I grew up in public school, but in a very, very scholastic town city that was like really, really cared about being successful and smart and getting good grades and having extracurriculars, and you had to go to college and you needed a tutor. And if you didn't do well on your tests, then you would never succeed in anything, starting from when I was like a child.
Yeah.
And it was just too much.
Yeah.
And so watching that, some of these characters are freaking adorable too.
Yeah. Podcast kid.
Honestly. Yeah. Podcast kid's great. Yeah. He's great. And one of the girls who was a bully, she wore a pink scrunchie in her hair and a green sweatshirt. And then I wore a pink scrunchie in my hair and a green sweatshirt.
Boom.
So that I was really into this. I'm going to actually watch this show.
Yeah. And that's wild to me. Like I kind of expected to watch the first episode and be, oh, this is fine. You know, it's not meant for me. And it's like, actually, this is really, it's charming. The kids are likable. And it's just so hard to get like, it feels like it's hard to get kids to be this good. Like, it's just like, it's this likable. Like, I think when people are writing stuff for kids, they always kind of dumb it down, and this doesn't. And it gives you good, like, again, it helps talking about the stuff we were talking about earlier. It helps you understand these kids' personalities, how they fit into the dynamic. I'm a big fan of the coach, the bad coach that from the beginning, he's from Letterkenny. And so his big appearance,
I do not think that he looks exactly like Kurt Russell's kid.
Wyatt Russell?
Wyatt Russell.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. They're on the, yeah.
We were just talking about for an hour of the show, mm-hmm. Roxy.
Definitely. Like, I agree with you. I like this, like, this kind of trying to take the gas off a little, because it's a weird thing, because it's like, you know, if you, I like that you pointed out, like, listen, the odds of any of these kids competing professionally is not great. So maybe all this pressure we're putting on them is also not great. And it's like, yeah, to compete at that level as, you know, if you're going to Olympics or whatever, people, kids are put through that. I do think there's worth arguing, like, is that worth it? Or maybe we all need to calm down as a society, but hey, listen, nobody's asking me. But yeah. I do like that, you know, these kids are experiencing injuries at a young age. It's like, yeah, let's dial it back. And of course the return of Emilio Estevez as Gordon Bombay. And of course, like, where are you going to start him? He hates hockey. He doesn't want to do a team. Like, we've got to build that arc in there, but I'm here for it. And I am probably also going to keep watching it. And if I'm being honest, that surprises me.
Yeah, me too. I had no intention. You texted me, are you going to watch the show? And I said, no.
Mm-hmm.
And then last night I watched Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and then it was there and I wasn't tired yet. And mm-hmm. I was like, hi, so that I can just talk to DJ about it. Why not click on this?
Yep.
And then I was like, am I going to watch this show?
Is this going to be my favorite show? Oh my God,
I'm going to watch the show. This is so weird. It's also cool because it does seem like family friendly and cute. It's, you know, in a world in which we're doing a lot of things recently, like Cobra Kai, this is not that.
No, it is interesting. It takes a lot of, like, if you told me that the creators behind the show had not watched Cobra Kai, I would call you a liar. But it is tonally very different. And I think it's cool that I always find it very impressive when creators are able to make something that is age appropriate. Kids can watch this. It's entertaining. But like, the fact as a grown adult, I don't want to like
turn it off
or like whatever. I think that's really, that I'm also engaged by it as well. I think it was really cool. So Leonard Kim in the chat says, if we never saw the movie, will we be lost and confused watching the show? I don't think so. I think you can go
definitely
in cold.
Not.
Yeah. You can go in cold. Although I'm probably going to rewatch at least the first two movies. So maybe you can also do, I don't know if those are on Disney Plus, but I would be shocked if they're not.
That would be weird.
Yeah. Because I've got the show. I'm probably going to rewatch them and I remember liking them. So maybe do that, but you definitely don't need to.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. This was good. I recommend this.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe that. it was really, really enjoyable.
Yeah. Listen.
I thoroughly enjoyed. I enjoyed my time every second watching it. I was like, yeah.
Do it. Yeah, Disney Plus is more than just the Marvel shows and the Star Wars shows. There's other nostalgia to mine.
Totally.
The other question is the animated Mighty Ducks show on there where the ducks were anthropomorphized duck aliens fighting evil?
This we don't know.
We have to find out. There's no way to find out. We're going to have to, whatever. Speaking of questions, our audience had questions for us and we might have answers. So
it's possible.
Let's go in there. I don't think I put these in any particular order. So let's just do it.
All right.
So Brenda asks, and this is part of the Discord, patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. Again, like I said at the top of the episode, we didn't really have a topic. We were going to talk about Godzilla vs. Kong. We didn't have that. So you guys sent us questions to answer. So we're going to dive into those. Brenda asks, I'd love to hear the wildest MCU/DCEU/Star Wars, whatever else headcanon or theory you've heard, because there are so many. Obviously, I feel like this question is inspired by all the theories from WandaVision that ended up not mattering at all. Is there, Roxy, a piece of like fan theory or when you were part of like covering one of these fan shows, you saw a theory, you're like, oh, that's insane.
So I feel like I am a theorist. So, you know, I throw out bizarro shit all the time. And because of that, I look into bizarre things all the time, too. Like, I'm the first person to take to Twitter or, like, to Reddit or whatever it is. I'm not as good at Reddit, but because I just want to know what people are thinking.
Reddit's a scarier place.
Yeah, it's hard to navigate for your girl rocks. But I love to hear theories. As long as people are okay being wrong and knowing that it's just kind of fun sometimes to theorize.
Yeah.
So there's no fan theory that's too obscure for me. Obviously, my main fandom is DC. I've done DC coverage for the last 7 years in a very, very all on top of it all the time kind of way. And when you do a show called DC Movie News, and for the first 3 years you're doing the show, there is not one single movie that comes out. You have to talk about fan theories because you got to fill that time. So I'm a big fan theory person, but I don't know about the wildest one. A couple of them that really stuck with me, I guess, or more so than that, that I was like, huh, what exactly is going on here? Okay, this one I liked, that Dr. Poison was the person who ended up creating the venom that Bane uses.
Oh,
have
cool.
Heard this theory?
No, I've not heard it, but that's a good idea.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I always really liked that because I actually like Dr. Poison. I know that people had some mixed opinions, mm-hmm. but I thought that Dr. Poison was dope. I thought Dr. Poison was doper than the general.
Yeah.
Even though they were both fine, but I love this movie. I love Wonder Woman. And I think the fact that gas then transforms into what the serum that Bane uses is kind of a cool theory, even though in this iteration, we don't even have a Bane.
Mm-hmm, not yet.
But I like that one a lot. A lot of people I remember yelling at me for a long time because one of my least favorite things that's ever taken place in the DCEU is the Martha moment. I really struggle with the Martha moment.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have theorized that even though Flash says Lois is the key, that Martha's the key.
Oh, and I feel like the Snyder Cut probably put that one to bed.
I mean, but the Snyder Cut doesn't mean anything, though.
It's true.
And I don't mean, oh my God, don't clip that out. The Snyder Cut means everything. I just mean.
Roxy knows that when I promote these shows, I like to pull a clip and she's like, don't, that's not the one.
Not that one.
Not that one. No, I tried to be, if I'm being honest, when we did the Snyder Cut ones, I tried to be very careful about which one I picked.
Yeah, I just mean that the Snyder Cut does not.
As far as continuity goes.
Anything about our future. Yeah. So
because I know there's a lot
about Martha's like involvement and what and that was a seed that was planted for something that later on happened. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think as far as fan wildest ones, I always thought, you know, obviously Game of Thrones was a show that generated a lot of theories. The one I like to make the most fun of was the idea that the Night King was Bran because their noses were similar. And it's like, oh, oh, you all need to, I don't know.
I'm not that into that one.
Yeah, prepare yourself to possibly be disappointed is all I'm going to say about that. That might not be the direction the showrunners are going. I think a fan theory going outside of that stuff, one that I like, that I have internalized, that I've like, oh, that's just the way this is now, is the Pulp Fiction Reservoir Dogs connection. Because... Mm-hmm. At one point, Quentin Tarantino wanted to make a Double V Vega movie that had the two Vega characters played by Michael Madsen and John Travolta respectively together. And of course, at this point, the actors are too old for that to happen. But knowing that in that world, they were supposed to be connected, I like to imagine the briefcase in Pulp Fiction is the briefcase of diamonds from Reservoir Dogs. Like in my mind, that's just the way things are.
Because why not?
Yeah, that is the truth. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't change the story at all. I think the wildest, I don't even know if it's a fan theory, but my wildest theory about something that I haven't heard anybody else.
So you're the fan.
I am the one fan. Have I told you about my theory about Inception? Because I feel like I might have brought it up before. So
maybe, what is it?
You know, a lot of people speculate, you know, with the top at the end of the movie, is he in a dream? My theory is that the entire movie is a dream. The dream machines are dream. Literally the entire scenario of people going into dreams is a dream by a guy that possibly lost his wife and he's on a train, or he lost his wife on a train. And so he dreamed a dream where people can go into dreams. Because there's certain scenes that are supposed to be reality that play out kind of dreamlike, when he's on a chase and the walls are kind of like angled at a sense where he's feeling crushed. Like there's so many elements of the dream that are theoretically supposed to be reality but play out dreamlike. So that we are in a world where dream machines
don't exist. How I feel about it all being a dream.
Yeah, I think the whole thing is somebody just processing his loss in a dream that plays out like a sci-fi Christopher Nolan thriller. that's my wild. fan theory. We have another question here from Ryan C. McCoy. What movie would you want to see the full extended cut of? So obviously we got the Snyder cut. Is there...
release the air cut.
Is that your one? Is that the hill you want to...
No. I just think that's the hill right now.
That is the hill right now. I'm interested because I liked parts of Suicide Squad. My reaction to Suicide Squad is the same as you for the 2017 Justice League, where it's like, I enjoyed it when I watched it. And then I rewatched it and I was like, however, have you seen, for people that want that, have you seen other David Ayer movies? I would like to argue that there's not a lot of evidence that Suicide Squad would be that much better than what we got based on prior movies from that director. Not necessarily ones he wrote, because I do enjoy Training Day, but ones that he also directed.
Well, I just don't know. I don't know. I think that I wish there was no such thing as a director's cut, because I wish that the directors were the ones that it was their cut.
Yeah, I do.
That studios are the ones that they're cut, as a creator, makes me kind of die a little bit inside.
Yeah.
But yes, I'm trying to think of any kind of action movie that I feel like needs to be fleshed out more, or any movie that I was like that could have. I really didn't like the ending of Annihilation, but that feels like a different cut wouldn't have really helped me.
Yeah, that Annihilation is an interesting one. You know what? I have a lot of the same feeling about that creator whose name has left my brain, because we're not doing great with names today.
No, because we don't care about names anymore.
Did you watch his show Devs on FX?
No, I didn't, but you told me that it was great, I thought.
It was really great. Until the end. And that is how, because that same creator did Annihilation, he did Ex Machina, and I have the same...
Alex Garland.
Yeah, I have the same feeling about all his movies. I'm like, wow, this is incredible. And then the end happens, and you're like, oh, okay. It's fine. And not that the endings are bad, they just, he presents so many big, crazy ideas, and then the endings are just endings. They're just like typical movie endings. And it's like, and it kind of seems to brush aside a lot of the bigger ideas that are introduced. However, a lot of people have said that he is, despite the fact not being that he's not the credited director of Dread, that he was the one director of Dread, and I love that movie. So, you know, if that's the case, then that's the outlier there.
What about Fan 4?
Fan 4 Stick? Oh my God, could we get the director's cut of Fan 4 Stick? Oh my God. I would watch it.
Is that the answer?
I would watch. Is that the answer? But that's the thing, is like, I don't know that it would actually be a better movie. You know what I mean? Like, it would be, although how could it be worse? It's surprising that he's not making a campaign for that. Like, I would, you know, granted Zack Snyder has cultivated this fan base since the 300 days. I don't think Josh Trank has that kind of pull, but I'd at least try. I know people have talked about, there's a movie starring Sam Neill and Lawrence Fishburne called Event Horizon. It's a sci-fi horror that apparently, if I remember correctly, there's like a mysterious, like a cut so graphic that they couldn't release it as an R rating. So they just got rid of it.
You like that violence.
It's not necessarily about that. It's actually interesting. I had a conversation, or I guess Hector Navarro was having a conversation that I weighed in on Twitter. And I think, I do like violence, but I do think there's a place for it. I do think the violence in, considering it's the Justice League, I think the violence in the Snyder Cut is excessive. And I don't know if I like the idea of our live action Justice League being R-rated, because there are room for these characters to be used in adult stories, but they are meant for younger audiences. They're aspirational characters. And I think Marvel has done a good job of, again, making it so, like, yes, these movies cater to an older audience, but for the most part, younger audience members can watch it and enjoy it. With guys that dress up like bats and women that are literal goddesses that may or may not be made of clay, I think it's important that you let the kids in on that one. I think saying like, these are for adults only. This guy dressing up as a bat and throwing around bat-shaped shuriken is for adults. It's like, that's silly. That's, you know what I mean? Like, it should be accessible. So yes, I do like violence. In the right, but anyway, point is, I like Event Horizon a lot. So if you told me that there was like a definitive cut of that, I would check it out. I don't need definitive cuts of anything Peter Jackson has directed because those movies are long enough already. I remember as a kid, I got all of the extended editions of Lord of the Rings, and then as an adult, I tried to rewatch them. I'm like, nope, 3 hours is good enough. We do not need this extra hour of content. We got a question here from Finio.
What is it, DJ?
And when they were in the chat, obviously Invincible also dropped this week. If you guys want to know my review for the first three episodes of Invincible, that was in last week's episode. But they were talking about that. And he said, some other talking points can be, what animated reboots are you excited for and think should or shouldn't happen? I don't have high hopes for the live-action Powerpuff Girls reboot. So Roxy, you have been open about the fact that, you know, animation just isn't your preferred medium. You prefer live-action. Are there animated shows that you've heard about or maybe you did watch that you think would be more appealing to you as live action? And
yeah.
Are you excited for stuff like the live action Powerpuff Girls or the other things where you're like, no, that's okay?
It's interesting that Powerpuff Girls was mentioned by Finio because I was a big Powerpuff Girls fan growing up.
Yeah.
I really liked the Powerpuff Girls and I was really excited when they announced that there was going to be a live action. When I only heard there's going to be a live action Powerpuff Girls show, I thought that show lends itself really well to be live action because it's three kick butt female superheroes, essentially, that were created and have bizarro villains. But I've seen based on Flash that if we can make Grodd work, then we can make Mojo Jojo work.
Absolutely.
You know, there's so much that we could do. And I already like those CW shows. You know that it's not just the CW DC shows. I like Riverdale and I like Vampire Diaries and I like the originals and I like 90210 and I like Gossip Girl. So it just feels right up that alley. It's same casting director, David Rappaport. And I was excited about this announcement. When we heard that what it was actually going to be was three disgruntled people who were upset that they were gonna be, they had been forced to be heroes and now are retired in high school or whatever that the premise is, I was kind of like, oh, that's not totally what I was hoping for.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that when you've been all, doesn't sound exciting to me. That doesn't sound like a fun show. It sounds kind of like a bummer.
Yes.
I'm still in on it, but that specific one stands out to me because that's one of the shows that I really did like. And growing up, I really liked a lot of animated shows. I loved Rugrats and Doug, and I loved Animaniacs, and I loved Dexter's Lab, and I love, you know, but I don't know how many of those really translate. I guess Dexter's Lab could do the live action thing.
Yeah. I actually, and especially some of the extra, what was it? It was Major Glory. I don't remember it was their version of the Super Friends where it's literally superheroes just living together. That would be funny. That could be a funny show to have on a network. But I agree with you on Powerpuff Girls because it feels like the pitch is like, what if Powerpuff Girls live action, but none of the things you liked about from the cartoon. It's like, well, why are we doing this? What's happening? I think for me, you mentioned Animaniacs. You mentioned a lot of great ones that we grew up with. I think you could do a fun Doug show. Really easily because it's just him hanging out with his friend. Like it's literally like a Boy Meets World, except it was animated at the time. But another one that you mentioned, Animaniacs, that was a part of that, I think it was the Fox Kids block, was Freakazoid. Roxy, did you ever watch Freakazoid as a kid?
No.
So Freakazoid was...
Look at what that even is.
Yeah, check out Freakazoid because it was basically Deadpool for kids before Deadpool was that. And so it's as kid gets superpowers and it's just a complete parody of superhero shows and stuff like that.
I like any show that has an exclamation point in the title. And yes. I realize I definitely have seen this before because he's got the blue...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen that. That would be, I think, it would be a really fun show to revisit. I do know there's a little bit
Freakazoid, like he's
close to a Mike Allred character named Madman. So maybe we just need a Madman movie and that'll scratch that particular itch. But I think the finale of Freakazoid is him teaming up with a famous TV woodworker, one of these like This Old Home guys that my dad used to love those shows. And so it's just this weird Norm Abrams. And that's the finale of the show. Literally the last episode of the show is him teaming up with a famous woodworker to stop a bad guy. And it's hilarious. I that one is one that I would like to see more of, but I do like, I actually think there's some stuff that really benefit. Like there's an animated show on HBO Max that you can watch, called Primal. That's incredible. And I think very specifically also from Gendy Tartakovsky, who did, Dexter's Lab and a bunch of those other shows, that I think really works with the language of animation. It's kind of why I'm nervous for the Avatar show, because I think the Avatar, The Last Airbender, animated series was so specifically attuned for animation that making live action, it's like, well, that's just not gonna be as good. But is there one of the shows you liked, or maybe of shows that you didn't check out because they were animated, is there one that if it was live action, you're like, oh, I'm on board?
No, Rugrats is doing live action too, right?
I don't know how that's going to work.
I'm trying to think of any other, like, which big ones am I missing?
Hey Arnold. Although, again, that's
I like that one too, but how do you have a football head?
Yeah, and he couldn't, right? He just couldn't. He would just be a normal kid at that point.
But then how are we going to say move it football head?
That's a good point.
So.
Yeah. And if we did football head, ew? Is that an appealing show?
Maybe they call him football head for a different reason.
Oh, that's actually good. That's actually pretty good. Like he gets the first scene, he gets hit in the head with a football.
Yeah.
Football head. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Move it, football head.
You need
somebody
it.
Says that walking by, and then somebody else says, "Hey, Arnold."
Boom. And then we go into the opening credits. Classic. Rugrats, I'm not looking forward to. That seems strange to me. Let's go to this last question from Danny. Who's also in the chat today. We actually, he also, Kayla Marie wants to know if you ever watched Avatar The Last Airbender. I think we know the answer to that question.
Yes.
Yeah, she did. She watched all, she is as expert of that as much as she is of gamer.
I'm lying.
Danny S says, Danny M says, Fan Forced It could not be worse than the, a director's cut could not be worse than the main Fanforestick movie, because the first 45 minutes were not bad. And the first 45 minutes weren't that bad of that movie.
Okay.
But let's get to this question from Danny.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom.
This question that's in gibberish to me.
What do movie studios...
Oh, this is
a different one. Yeah, we're going to save that one. I'll tell you about that one later. What do movie studio theaters... studios, theaters, and streaming services look like in the future? How many days before home release for movies? More simultaneous premieres? Obviously, we things got shaken up for COVID, and we're kind of coming out from that. We got news this week that Black Widow is being pushed to July, correct?
Yep.
And we'll have a simultaneous Disney Plus theatrical release. I believe it's the same with Cruella, who I think is taking Black Widow's old spot.
May.
Yeah.
And then Shang-Chi was moved to September, but only in theaters. And Luca was moved to only Disney Plus.
Yeah, man. Why is Pixar getting the short end of the stick here? All their movies are like, yeah, you don't need to pay extra. They're just going to Disney Plus now.
I think because their movies do well at home.
Yeah. But it's also... they're
because people have kids and they just want the kids to watch something. So those movies are doing well.
But I also, not to... If you asked me, DJ... would you, if you had to choose, you're going to spend $30 and you have to choose between spending $30 on Raya the Last Dragon or Soul, I'm spending that $30 on Soul. But they didn't ask me to, so I didn't have to.
Yeah. I think that when you have just like five people in your family and you can justify it,
yeah,
then you shell it out.
Because
That's and, 2 hours of peace.
And maybe the Disney Princess movies do better than the Pixar movies. It's just, I know the ones that excite me more are the Pixar ones. So I'm surprised that they're not asking for the premium price for those. But hey, you know what? I shouldn't put that out in the universe. Don't do it. Just give me the Pixar movies. give me.
They're cheap. How much do you think they're just a lot less expensive to make?
That can't be, right?
I don't think so, but yeah. I'm just trying to think. I'm trying to put my why business cap on.
Well, take that why business cap and apply it to how we think things are going to be moving forward. Because I would imagine there's going to be a push for the studios to go back to the way things were.
Mm-hmm.
And I,
which is what, like when, in what way do you mean that?
So exclusive theatrical release, what was it, like a 90-day window before they could be streaming, whatever that window was before they could be on streaming platforms. I just like everything else in a society, I think they're going to be like, let's just keep doing what we were doing, even though I think the genie's out of the bottle on that. So I don't know if I don't know if same day release in theaters and streaming is going to be the future.
What are the laws around that still?
Are there laws or is it just like agreements?
I thought that there was, I don't know. But wasn't there that 3 month in the studio? I don't know whether that was like a universal, I don't mean pictures, I mean universally like understood thing amongst all theaters, or whether that was an actual signed, sealed, delivered thing. I don't know, but they were not allowed to, and there was rules around what could be Oscar nominated if it went here or there. There's just there were a lot of things around it. I don't know what it is now.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what, like, but that's the thing, is that going to be, you know, there's hesitancy from the establishment to change anything really ever. But I feel like, again, with all of this, I think it depends on, right, the profitability. So if they release Black Widow at a premium price and in theaters, and it makes as much or more money that way, they'll keep doing that, right?
I guess so.
Yeah.
Because money is the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. In terms of simultaneous premieres, I don't think because we took a year off that all of a sudden we're going to get a bunch of premieres on the same date in a way that we didn't used to, because production was delayed too.
Yeah.
So everything just seems to be pushed.
Yeah.
Does that make sense at all?
Mm-hmm.
I also think that in order to look in the future and know the answers, we would have to be future seers, which I'm just not. I don't know how this is going to shake out. I don't know how long it's going to be until people feel comfortable going back to theaters, or how jammed those theaters are going to be, or what the rules and regulations are around that. I don't know what it's going to look like for the people who didn't get vaccinated, and what theaters look like, and if theaters become major hotspots, which I don't think that they will, and we don't have evidence to support that they will, but we just don't know. So like, there's just so many things that could change here. I don't know if there's going to be a lot more, what comes out of this, a lot more indie scripts, because a lot of people have been writing during this time. And so that we're going to start to see the rise of the indies and the fall of these big budget ones, especially because a lot of studios weren't making money off of these movies because this is contingent on them being able to be in theaters, and they need to have contingency plans now. I just think there's so many moving parts. It's hard to be like the future teller on this.
Yeah. And what's interesting is, you know, we can assume that like the studios will know the answer, but they won't.
No,
they're going to make dumb guesses too. They're going to try and do things the way things were working, and either that will work and people will want that, or it won't. More. And they're going to have to change. We do have a question here on the chat from Kayla Marie. Do these studios have a responsibility to movie theaters? Like, would they stop digital releases so people will still go to theaters? Like, and that's an interesting question, because, you know, obviously you think about the logistics of it, but they're people that work at theaters and that they rely on that in their job. I don't know.
Do you think she means a moral responsibility or a legal responsibility?
I think a moral responsibility, which I will, when you put it that way, it's like, well, then if you're counting on any big business to have behave morally for any reason, don't have that expectation. This is possibly wishful thinking on my part. We had Dan Merle on the show probably a year ago now, talking about this very thing. And I don't think theaters will go away, but I wouldn't be surprised if they become more boutique experiences, like something like Alamo Drafthouse, which again, is not too hard for me because I love the Alamo Drafthouse.
Mm-hmm.
and this might be, I don't know. I feel like 2 weeks after that, I've had my second vaccine. Ooh boy, I'm going to be looking at some Alamo Drafthouse tickets. But we'll see. We'll see how I feel. It's, you know, it might be early excitement on my part because I haven't even gotten shot number one yet. I don't know. I do like, there have been, like, specifically Judas and the Black Messiah. There have been movies that I've been watching and enjoying, and it's like, man, I wish I was watching this in a theater. You know what I mean? Like, Kong versus Godzilla is coming out. It's like, oh man, I wish I could see that in a theater. Mortal Kombat. So people like me will still exist, but theaters were already
EJ, struggling. You will always exist.
That's objectively not true, but thank you. In spirit, wherever there's a cranky person out there, I'll be there.
You don't know. You don't know what they're going to create.
Yeah, but I don't. What do you like? Do you think theaters are going to go away, Roxy?
I think there's zero chance.
No.
Of that. I don't know what form they'll be in. I don't know what the rules will be. I don't know what the regulations are. I don't know who's going to own them. I don't know any of that. But when there is a need for something, a society, a want,
yeah,
then business people fill that because they want to make money.
Yes.
So like, there's just no way with the amount of people who like going to the theaters,
yeah,
and want to go to the theaters and want to spend their money that way. There's no shot that there's no theaters.
Yeah. And I agree with that. And I also think, like, you know, people still go, granted it's a different experience, but people still go to live concerts, even though you can buy the songs on iTunes. You know what I mean? Like, there's still at home experience. There's a difference between the at home experience and the communal experience. Danny in the chat says he got his second shot today. Congrats. We're looking to rent out a theater for Mortal Kombat, vaccinated people only. I wish I lived where you were, because I would join. I'm probably not going to be vaccinated by then, but if I were, I would join you because I'm very excited for that movie.
I'm seeing it tonight.
Mortal Kombat?
Remember? I told you this.
That's Kong versus Godzilla.
No, I lied. I
was like, oh, wait, oh, how far behind am I? Anyway.
DJ, yes. What's happening with my brain today?
Listen, it's early and you watched two shows late last night because Disney refuses to release their shows at a godly hour.
DJ, what you're telling me, just breaking news, I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
Is that Mortal Kombat and Kong versus Godzilla are two different movies.
Yes. Similar premises in that fighting happens.
Just so sad because I love both those things so much. Just so bad. No, I wish I don't know which one of those I would. No, I would rather see Mortal Kombat probably, even though I'm really excited about Kong versus Godzilla.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. And again, so it's like there's still experience. And it's not, like I said, it's not just the big shoot 'em up blockbusters. It's like Judas and Black Messiah, I think, would have been real. It was a really powerful experience. I think would have been more powerful in a theater. Danny M says, you don't want to live in Texas, LOL. I did for a second. And in hindsight, I'm glad I didn't.
You did want to for a second?
When we were house shopping out here and I was thinking about earthquakes and looking at house prices, I was like, well, Austin's great. And then, you know, this year showed me like, maybe I made the right call. Anyway, knock on wood, no earthquakes. The big one hasn't happened yet. And now that I've said it, the whole, anyway. Let us know find us online. Let us know what you think the future of the movie industry is. This week's question.
What is it?
Will be, for those that listen on Spotify, ooh, I didn't write it ahead of time. Roxy, what should the question be? Movies, okay. or anime? Oh, what about this? What animated show?
No, do you want to see Turn live action?
Do you want to see Turn? Perfect.
I said it first.
You said it first. Roxy's got the options. So Roxy, if people want more of those options, where can they find you in the internet sphere?
You guys can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer, youtube.com/Roxy Stryer, youtube.com/TheWorldGirls. Every Wednesday and Sunday in The World Girls, I've been going back to everyday live at the Roxy so far. So yeah, most of the days I'm there at 1. It kind of depends on what life looks like, though.
Hey, listen, you're free. You did the year. You push that rock up the hill. I'm so genuinely impressed that you were able to accomplish that. Cause I think about
two weeks
in, I would have been like, nah, I'm good. That's
yeah,
I'm good.
Yeah.
So go, please go check that out. Please go support that. You can find me everywhere that matters at DJ Talks Trash, and you can follow the show everywhere it matters at Only Stupid Answers. But on Twitter, you're going to want to
yank out the vowels from stupid.
There it is. So for more about the show, check all that out. Again, like I said, throughout the episode, if you want to watch the full OSA show, the 2-hour show that we do every Friday at 10 a.m. PST, you can do that at patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. I'm also be dropping a short film I shot last year on the Patreon.
Well, you haven't dropped it yet.
I haven't dropped it yet. It's probably going to be the end of the month. But on my Instagram, I'm posting stills from it, introducing the cast and everything. And that is the plan is that is going to be the first thing in some bigger stuff. I'm going to try and put more of the stuff I've been working on and creating on the Patreon. So stay tuned for all of that. Yeah, that's it. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week. Thank you for everybody that joined us live. We really appreciate you. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Y'all are the realists. Who knows?